Welcome to the Medical Journal of Australia podcast. The MJA is Australia's top peer-reviewed general medical journal, publishing groundbreaking research to the medical community since 1914. My name is Kate Swanell, and I am the MJA's news and online editor. Obesity is the second highest contributor to disease burden after tobacco use among Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Australians. A group of researchers in New South Wales has been trialling a model of primary care called shared medical appointments, or medical yarn-ups, which are so far proving to be successful in delivering weight loss plans to Aboriginal patients. Gary Egger is adjunct professor at Southern Cross University and is a board member of the Australasian Society of Lifestyle Medicine. Bob Morgan is conjoint professor at the Wallatooka Institute at the University of Newcastle, and they are my guests on the pod today. What is the burden of obesity in the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander population?
Well, it's actually higher than in the non-Indigenous population. It's about 69% of Indigenous adults, whereas it's about 63% in the broader community. And when you look at obesity, that's obesity and overweight, but when you look at obesity per se, it's even greater. It's about 40% in the Indigenous community and about 29 to 30% in the non-Indigenous community.
Do we know what the drivers are of that?
Well, one of the key drivers is socioeconomic and cultural status. But when you look behind the cause of the cause, if you like, then we have to look to a lot of the psychological issues. The fact that we're dealing with a lot of displaced people who have got issues of meaninglessness, alienation, and loss of culture that has been determined by white. History in Australia since what was known as the invasion back in 1788.
In going about trying to alleviate the obesity crisis, for want of a better word, obviously the key is to find culturally acceptable and effective ways of doing it. Tell me a little bit, what is a shared medical appointment and why is it turning out to work so well in terms of weight loss programs for Indigenous Australians?
Okay, well, I'll start by talking about shared medical appointments in general.
Okay.
And then I'll hand over to Bob to talk about the relevance of this in Indigenous communities.
Mm-hmm.
A shared medical appointment is where a doctor consults not one person at a time in a closed room, but maybe 10 or 12 different people. And that meeting then is run by a trained facilitator who organises the doctor's time and the interaction with each individual person. Now, for Indigenous people, Australian Aboriginal people in particular, this is alien to their normal upbringing, because to be locked in a room with a white doctor is quite threatening, and many people don't want to talk to that doctor. But if you get 10 or 12 people in a large room, or preferably even outdoors, if it's under a tree or somewhere, and everybody can contribute to that interaction, then it tends to work much better because of the yarn-up nature that is built into Aboriginal communities.
Why do these yarn-ups work so well for Indigenous Australians?
Kate, I think it's fundamentally involved a process where we can talk about medical issues that are shared with other Aboriginal people.
Right.
In a non-threatening but a culturally safe environment. So some of the programs that I've sat in on, I was really struck by the fact that, for instance, you know, some young blokes might be sitting there with their uncle or some elder in the circle,
mm-hmm.
or maybe just sitting outside the circle. And having that person there gives a lot of confidence to the young people and to others to say, well, you know, it's okay to talk about my business here because I feel safe about this. You can contrast that with what happens when we go and have a one-on-one sort of consultation with a general practitioner or whatever. It's my experience that 9 times out of 10, we tend to tell the doctor what we think the doctor wants to hear. That fundamentally sort of breaks down the potential of not only identifying what the causes are, but how do you remedy? What are some of the remedies that can be offered to address the particular issue that the person may be feeling? The other good thing, in my opinion, about shared medical appointments is that it's just not the responsibility of the individual to actually deal with their you know, wellness. It could be everyone in their extended family.
Okay.
And the more that people can know about it in an extended family context, the more likely it is that the person will deal with their issue in a productive and positive way.
So it's a way of sharing responsibility. And
absolutely. It's not just about the illness stuff. It's about our and in a traditional context, that's how we operated. That, you know, you didn't just leave people isolated. It is everyone's responsibility to care for that person and to get that person well, no matter what the ailment.
I should add there too that the one-to-one method of consulting, if you look at the literature on that, you'll find no evidence for it at all, in contrast to any other form of consulting. That's even in non-Indigenous cultures. But in Indigenous cultures, of course, that's the way that they worked, and that's the way that they solved their problems, is all everybody helping each other. But that's why the shared medical appointments is so important across all levels, because the one-to-one consulting model hasn't worked very well with chronic disease in particular. It's worked really well with infectious diseases, but not with chronic diseases. So we need to find something else.
Now, in your perspective for the MJA, you're talking specifically about using YarnUps for weight loss. Tell us about the program. I know you've based it on Gut Busters. How does it work, and how is it proving to be successful?
Well, we are testing it in a number of different ways at the moment in one of the PHNs, the South East New South Wales PHN,
right,
on the South Coast, and that's with Indigenous and with non-Indigenous groups down there. And it's programmed in the sense, we call it a programmed shared medical appointment, in the sense that it's not just a sit around and yarn up, it's a bit of a lecture that goes before that,
yeah,
using visuals in particular. And then the doctor comes in after that and does an individual consultation. So whatever's been talked about in the session before can then be integrated into the doctor's consultation, and everybody can contribute to that consultation. And the way it works is somebody says, oh, look, I did that, or I had that and I did this and it worked for me.
Yep.
That might maybe something that you should try. And so the doctor then becomes more of a moderator than an actual deliverer of care. Everybody needs to work it out for themselves, because in the long term, chronic disease has to be self-managed. It can't be managed by an external person.
Yeah, that's right.
And
yep,
within Aboriginal culture, it's not just self-managed, but it's whole group managed. It's family managed. It's everybody contributing to the consultation.
Gary Egger and Bob Morgan are chatting with me today about medical YarnUps. Their research letter on the subject is published at mja.com.au, and like all the Indigenous content at the MJA, it is permanently open access. Is this a program that could work, like could YarnUps work for smokes, for example?
Oh, absolutely. I don't believe there's any particular context of chronic disease management where it can't be applied.
Yeah.
I've seen it operate. I've sat in circles with Aboriginal men, and in particular, I haven't had the experience at the moment to sit in sort of mixed gender circles, but I know that it would apply to all genders and then mixed genders, so that there is a sense of, you know, peer support, and we're creating a culturally, not a culturally appropriate, but it's more a culturally responsive sort of method,
right?
So that we're actually responding to the culture of the group that we're working with. I worry about the old concept of cultural appropriateness, because in that context, someone else usually defines and determines what is appropriate and what is not.
Yeah.
But when we use terms like culturally responsive, it means that we're privileging the local culture,
yeah,
or the regional culture, or the national nation culture of the group that we're working with. And I believe, Kate, that if shared medical appointments or programmed shared medical appointments were adopted by government tomorrow, then we would see a significant improvement in the closing the gap health agenda for Indigenous people. I'm totally convinced of that. No, what's currently there that's being offered to Aboriginal people, the gap isn't closing. And in fact, it's probably getting worse.
Yeah.
So we've got to be brave, and governments and medical providers, health providers, have to really think outside the square and say, okay, let's see if this thing does work. We've got nothing to lose
yeah.
because what we're doing now isn't working. And what I've seen is shared medical appointments. I think that it is not the panacea, but I firmly believe that it will provide a significant alternative approach to what is currently being dished up.
What kind of training does the facilitator need?
Well, we run the training for facilitators in all different groups through the Australasian Society of Lifestyle Medicine.
Mm-hmm.
It's not rocket science. They do a full day's training where it's role played, and you really the success is based on the selection of the right people to be a facilitator. We generally find that the practice nurses work best because they know about group dynamics, and they can interject with a doctor, and they can add to the doctor's consultation and so on. But we firmly believe that in Indigenous groups that the Aboriginal health workers will be the people who will
yeah.
be the best facilitators. And we hope also that Aboriginal doctors will get involved in that too. There's some concern at the moment that the Aboriginal doctors aren't spending as much time with Aboriginal people and Aboriginal groups
mm-hmm.
as they might want to do if this sort of system was available to them.
What's the next step, Bob? How do we get the government interested in actually putting some resources into this?
Well, from my perspective, Kate, I think that it might require, you certainly have to have a change of policy approach to this type of matter at the federal level. But I think there's also a need for us to work more closely with the PHMs around the country
yeah.
Because I've done some work with them in other Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander contexts, and they've been very, very supportive. And I think that, that there's a relationship that can be developed between Aboriginal medical services and PHMs and even the non-Aboriginal health clinics, because some of the work that we've done demonstrates that probably 60 to 70% of Aboriginal people still access mainstream health clinics. So there's a lot of work that needs to be done with those type of clinics to engage our people more effectively. One thing I'd like to add to the question about who can deliver this and the facilitators and what have you,
yep.
I think there's also an argument for us to examine how we can better position and incorporate the role of Aboriginal elders in the delivery of healthcare systems. So I'm convinced that having an elder in the consultation process will have significant application to the way in which we deal with Aboriginal healthcare matters, because that's how we used to operate. And that's how I believe that we can still operate. Now, those people don't have to be medically trained or clinically trained. It's more about the cultural sort of context that's really important.
Yeah.
And elders play a significant role in that regard. And elders are now being engaged more and more in other areas of need,
mm-hmm.
Like in education and training and in various aspects of our engagement in modern society. So it's something that really needs to be examined.
Yeah.
And I think that the work that we're doing with the shared medical appointment approach, that's another aspect of the work that we'll do.
Gary, you said the yarn-ups were being trialled on the South Coast. How long are the trials running for, and what are your hopes for extending it?
Well, we've already run one major trial. This is in non-Indigenous groups, but we've got one woman's Indigenous group down there. Mm-hmm. I agree with Bob what he said earlier, that we're not sure whether mixed groups will work, but particularly in weight control, we don't even use mixed groups in non-Indigenous people. We segregate them into males and females.
Mm-hmm.
The group that we've run down the South Coast at Waminda, Aboriginal Medical Women's Medical Centre there, we've found that not only do they not work if you've got the segregated genders there, but you can actually get involvement without changing the nature of the program. So we thought initially that this was a program that was written for non-Indigenous women in particular, but it needed to be culture of it changed for Indigenous women. But we've found that it actually works quite well just without even changing it. We will probably adapt it a little bit in the future, but we don't think that it's as vital as we did think before we started.
Kate, I think the central message from my perspective is that the Commonwealth Health bureaucrats and government generally must be prepared to think more laterally about these types of issues rather than continuing to stay focused on this single approach to Aboriginal transgender health, where they've been focused on, you know, treating a disease and not looking at the underlying causes of what's happened in our country, particularly around what I refer to as cultural contamination.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're the only ones in Aboriginal and Torres Strait people. That's our role. We can deal with that particular matter. How do we sort of decontaminate, if you like, the process that have served to position us at the margins of white society. But that's going to be a factor in the way in which health departments and practitioners deal with these matters.
Yeah.
It's not before time where, we're sort of getting a lot worse than in fact getting better, and notwithstanding there are some marginal sort of improvements over time, but we've still got a crisis in our community.
Thank you both for your time. Okay. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Kate.
Well, it's timely, Kate. I'm now off to see the doctor.
Good on you.
One-on-one.
One-on-one.
But that's okay.
Cool.
That's okay. I think I've just about got him trained, actually.
Thanks so much, you two. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, bye.
My thanks to my special guests today. Don't forget that all our podcasts are open access and available at www.mja.com.au/podcasts. Or you can subscribe to our feed at iTunes. My name's Kate Swanell, and we'll see you next time.